We're holding on Daf Mem Chet at the Motiv Rav Yehuda, which is one-third of the way down. And just to get back into the swing of things over here, you'll remember that Rav Huna's Shita was that Talyuah v'Zavin Zvin Ezvin. And there were some variations on that theme, because Rav Huna was only talking about where somebody got money, that was a kosher Zvin. We saw that there were some variants, which we'll get back to today. And the question we had yesterday was, how does he know it? And so we looked for rayas from the din of korbanas, where Bezdin can force a person to bring a korban. We looked for rayas from the din of gitei nashim, that you can force a person to give a get. And we noted that that's not really a valuable model, because of the fact that in each of those cases, there's something unique that the person gains, either kapara, which people like, even more than money. And that's why we actually do not require a mashkin to be taken. We don't let the gizba go in and force people to bring chatot vashamot because people want the kapara. That's not our problem. Our problem are the nedarim that people are neither karban ola, that they don't feel so committed to bringing because it doesn't give them anything as much. And then we talked about gitei nashim, and we ended up noting, at least our approach to the sugya was, that we ended up noting a difference between a moral imperative, which involves will, and kinyoni, which involves acquiescence, according to Rav Huna. So that what Rav Huna is saying is once your gamer does to be makna, that's sufficient to create a kinyon. However, when it comes to elements that go beyond kinyonim, over there we're talking about a new requirement. That requirement is rotzon, which is what we learn out of liritzonai in the din of korbanos. We assume that that's the pshat as well when it comes to Gittin, and that in Gittin there's a rutzen to do what's right. So since it's a mitzvah to be shomea divrei chachomim, chachomim said you have to give a get, so he would give a get. The question that arises is, and Tosfos asks this because he doesn't quite have the approach that we had to the sugya, Tosfos asks, so why do we need a pasuk to tell me the din of kofanos arshiyom erotzani? Why wouldn't that be included in Rav Huna? Now In the presentation yesterday, we obviated that question, because there's a difference. There you require rotzen, whereas over here you require only gemiras das, which is not the same thing. Tosfos doesn't make that chilek, says that perhaps the chiddush over there is, I mean, it may boil down to the same issue, except that he throws in a word that really doesn't belong, that over there I need the pasuk to tell me that the korban is kosher, despite the fact that he doesn't want to bring it on his own. So over there, the problem would be, according to Tosfos, that it would remain Zevach Rasha'im Toeva. Because since he doesn't really want to bring the carbon, he's not interested in dealing with the issue the carbon is for. So how could somebody bring a carbon under those circumstances? Again, I say might boil down to the same issue, in that he understands Ratzon in Liritzono as meaning that which is the difference between somebody who doesn't really care and somebody who cares. So it boils down to that moral element. But it's a little disturbing that he puts it in that way. But anyway, again, you could see clearly there's two different questions over here. Now, the shaila we have to deal with today is really why doesn't get boil down to just doing a kinyan, right? Konat atzma. So he's makna her to her. So in other words, why do we need to come on to this element, according to Rav Huna, of wanting to do what's right? Why would that be important in terms of Gittin and Kiddushin? We'll see issues of Kiddushin as well that we're going to bring up. Those are issues of Kinyonim. The mitzvah element of it is relevant because, according to Rav Huna, it's a Svara B'Alma that when you're engaged in a Kinyon, then Gemar Das is sufficient. Masiv, therefore, asks Rav Yehuda today from the following. Get Amu Useh B'Yisrael Kasher. So a get that a Bezdin Yisrael forces on somebody is a kosher get. So that if now they insist that he, and they beat him into submission, or threaten him into submission, when he says rotzani, that's sufficient. Uba akum pasul. However, even though he says rotzani, it's nonetheless pasul. Now our assumption at this point is that the reason that it's kosher by Yisrael is only because mitzvah lishma divrei chachamim, which according to Rav Huna shouldn't be necessary at all. Why don't we simply say that agav unsei, he's gomer das, and he's makne? By the way, again, the Bach, who also doesn't take the approach that we took yesterday, has to change the girsa in the Rashba. Because the point over here really is based around the difference between Gemira's Das for Kinyan. And therefore, when the Rashbam says, since by Agav Unse, the question is whether he's Gomar Umakne Umagarish. The Bach says that doesn't make any sense. Why are we talking about Makne? Just say Gomar Umagarish. But he misses the point. The Rashbam is stressing that it's Gomar Umakne because we don't need the mitzvah, Lishmua Divrei Chachamim. We only need the Kinyan. That's the point of the Gemara's Kasha. So if that's the case, asks the Gemara, let's first finish now. And when it comes to Akum Choftimoto Vomrim Lo Asei Mash Yisrael Omer Lecha, that's also good. But if you have Goyim, so now let's say the Beis Din doesn't have any legal powers in that country. All they can do is they can ask the civil courts to act on the basis of their psak. That's also good. As long as it's acting on the basis of Yisrael, they're using this as pressure. So it's also pressure. And if they hire the mafia, it's also pressure. Or if they hire the Hasidim and the Varatzniyas, it also might even be kosher.
Sometimes it's all the same thing.
What's that?
Sometimes it's all the same thing.
Yes, that's true. Okay, so now the question is, Vamai, why are we making this distinction? Aliba de Ravuna, we should simply say that Agav Unse is Gomer Omegarish. Since the whole point over there is to do the Kinyan to her, so he accepts to do it. I thought we don't need that. We should have the moral imperative when it comes to issues like getting Kiddush. Ah, says the Gemara, the truth is, you're 100% right. Actually, a get that is forced by a non-Jewish court or by the mafia is a completely kosher get, Midyoraita, because of Ravuna's Svara. And the truth is that Ha'idmar Allah, remember that indeed on that distinction, Rav Mesharshia pointed out, and this is perfect, Alibet Ravuna, that the Var Torah, afilu ba'akum nami kasher. There's no problem with forcing a guy into selling his wife, so to speak, to herself, any differently than selling a field to you. The only point is, matam amru ba'akum pasul. Why then do we say here that with an akum, a get ma'usa is pasul in the Mishnah? Kedei shelote kol achat ve'achat olechet ve'tola atzma biyad akum ha'mafkat atzma biyad ba'ala. That's all we need. If all it takes to get a get for a woman is to have a non-Jewish lover who doesn't hesitate to beat up the husband until he's magarish her, I mean, we might as well throw Kiddushin out of the window. And therefore, the Chachomim were mitaken that a get like that is not acceptable mitarabana. However, it's a perfectly kosher get, miyikar hadin.
I mean, that's why don't they just make it that the Jewish Beis Din can decide it, but and then that the Akum can enforce it.
We do that.
We do that.
Yeah, that's the third case. That if the Akum is doing what the Yisrael says, then
that's fine, even according to Ravana.
Right. You remember that great case of Tzvi Abramowitz's father?
Maryland.
Remember I told you in Maryland? Amazingly. McDon. Yeah, McDon. Amazing. The judge's name was McDon. What happened was that he was engaged. His father was a lawyer. Tzvi's father was a lawyer. This took place, I mean, his father died quite some time ago in his 90s, so this took place, you know, quite some time ago. In the old days.
When they had ethics.
Yeah, when they had ethics. So I've said the story over a few times, but I mean, it's such a perfect story for you. So they had a divorce case in which this Irish judge, he poskened that the guy has to give a get, and that, he owes this and the settlement, so in the divorce court. So the lawyer, his father, who was a lawyer for a religious woman, says to the judge that, Your Honor, I just want you to know that, your psak is an excellent psak, except it has no meaning, because in reality she's going to be held up for blackmail, because the get is not really going to divorce her. So she's going to have to give away everything that you gave her in order to get a get. She says, what's a get? Explains. I want to see that. So I don't have it here. So, okay, so bring it tomorrow. So he brings it in tomorrow. And he looks at the get. And he says to the husband, come up here and sign this. Interesting. So, you haven't gotten to the story. This was a public scandal. So the lawyer for the other guy says, Your Honor, it's a separation of church and state. You can't ask him to sign that document. So he says, Bailiff, could you bring the cat of nine tails, please?
Whip him.
Whip him. So the guy actually brings in, the lawyer goes bananas. He says, as you know, in the state of Maryland, if you do not do what the judge asks you to do, you're held in contempt of court. The judge has the right to administer lashes. So, you know, bailiff, wait! Okay. I'll sign. This is a momish fascinating thing. So this, they wrote this whole thing up in the Sun papers over there, a scandalous, that in a, you know, that in our times, we should have such things, cat of nine tails, and so they already had started thinking in liberal ways. So he wrote the beautiful letter that he wrote a letter to the papers addressing, the judge wrote in a letter, and they published his letter, and he pointed out that he is one of the leading judges when it comes to dealing with family abuse situations, especially husbands, abuse of wives, and so on. So he says, he brings the figures. He says, if you take a look in this state, the rate of recidivism on wife beating is enormous. You know, here, but this judge, it's this or this. With me, it's zero. There is no recidivism. He says, for a very simple reason. I beat the people who beat their wives. And after they get the first beating, they never do it again. Everybody else has got other ideas. They don't work. Must be at least, you know, as I said, his father's already 90. This was like 10 years ago, at least, maybe even 15 years ago. His father was 95 or so when he was nifter. So this, it's got to be, you know, really quite some time.
This is definitely before the 60s.
Yeah, of course. See. Geschmack. Oh, that's the Shaila. So here we're saying it was a Mamish al Pi Yisrael. It was a Geta Mu'use, but Mi'ikra didn't. If it wouldn't be for this, it wouldn't have been any problem. Okay, so that handles the issue of a Geta Mu'use. Ali Ben Ravun. Another question. Mostly Rav Hamnuna. Getting back to the Sikri Kun problem, our carpetbaggers that we discussed yesterday. So he was Lakach mi Sikri Kun, v'chazar v'lakach mi Baal HaBayit. Mikro batel. It says over there, even though he took it from the Baal HaBayit, it's batel. Now, why is it batel? If he bought it from the Baal HaBayit, so then according to Rav Huna, we should say that that's a talu of his oven, the sikrikun being the talu. So, am I? Hatam nami. According to Rav Huna, we should say neima. Agav unse gomar omakne. Says the Gemara, well, of course we do indeed. Because ha'it mara'ala. Now, what it is that we're going to quote over here with Rav is not the way we initially understood Rav. That itmar Rav, that omar Rav, lo shonu l'dormer l'lecha zekukni, avo bishtar kanat. Now remember, initially we understood Rav as simply meaning that if a guy goes beyond what was absolutely necessary to do what the Sikri Kun would have threatened him of, then that means that he was already necha to do it. That wouldn't be an answer to us, because Rav Huna is saying you're always necha to do it. So this doesn't make sense. Our new interpretation of Rav is that if the guy didn't write a contract, he wasn't paid. That's the point. In other words, we're making the distinction between if the guy wrote a contract, he wouldn't have written a contract unless he actually got the money. Mashain Kane, if he just says to the guy, do whatever the heck you want, go take it. So then ain't a chinami. But remember that Rav Huna never said to Luhu to give him as a gift, it was a good gift. He only said to Luhu, vizovin. So that Rav Huna only said the guy is Gomer Umakta because he gets fair exchange. But if he doesn't get fair exchange, he's not Gomer Umakta. So now that we interpret Rav's statement to mean that it's the difference between getting paid or not getting paid, it's completely consistent with Rav Huna. Says the Gemara, what about according to Shmuel? Shmuel says that Afishtar Nami Loikana, which of course we understood, that that's entirely a function of the level of his fear, and has nothing to do now with getting paid or not getting paid. So according to Rav Huna, who cares the level of his fear? He was Gomer Umakta. Ma'ikalamema. Is Rav Huna indeed saying that the Shmuel's psak is off the wall? No. Shmuel himself never said that in a case where he actually was paid, that it wouldn't be a good shtar. So maybe indeed, forget about this whole issue of was paid, wasn't paid. Nobody's talking about a case where the guy was paid, maybe enochinami, if he's paid. So then there's no problem. So maybe just like Rav Huna. I mean, I don't know. Well, now, of course, it's true that Rav Bibi, you'll remember, went ahead as with Messiah ba Mishmei the Rav Nachman. The way he understood Rav Nachman's psak, if you recall, and he said, I understand it's not like Rav Huna. But Rav Nachman himself held that the diuk was that karka ein lo, right? So ein ma midima sadeh biyodai. All that means is we don't give him the field, but that doesn't mean we're not going to refund his money, the ganav, or the guy who's relying on the sikriku. So that karka ein lo ma'ot yeshlo, but that obviously ma'ot yeshlo means he paid. So, but I thought according to Ravuna, if he paid, then he does get to keep the soda. So there's a contradiction in terms. If he doesn't have the soda, then he couldn't have paid, so there wouldn't be any ma'ot. If there were ma'ot, then he would have kept the soda. We certainly wouldn't give back the money to the ganav. So now how is that going to work out? So I said, come on, why does that have to work out? Rav Bibi wasn't quoting anything reliable. Rav Bibi is just the Maimrahu. Maimra l'Ravuna lo sfirle. Ravuna says that I just disagree. I don't think that's true. Because since the Yesod is that, therefore, there could never be a case in which a guy would get his money back. Because in that case, it was a kosher sale. Oh, my Rava, bottom line is, halachically, the halacha is that indeed, the din is if you hung him up and he sells, it's a kosher sale. But there's limits to that din. Velo amran ela b'sadeh stan. As we saw earlier, we spoke about this earlier in the parak, that this is only where you told a guy, look, I want a field. Now you're going to sell me a field, or you're not getting down off of this tree. And the guy selects a field. If he selected the field, then it's a kosher sale. But if he puts the gun to his head, so to speak, and insists on a particular field, ela b'sadeh zo, lo. Now remember that we understood, again, the approach that we've taken has been a very fundamental approach, not a logistical approach. So the approach that we took was that there's a difference between the level of your will that's involved in a choice, where the choice is made by you in how to respond to the threat, as opposed to a threat that leaves you no choice. We said that we saw this halacha in terms of Avodah Zarah or Ritzicha, where the Rambam makes the distinction between saving your life, where your life was clearly in danger, the vampire case, in which somebody needed to die to save your life, where you would be chayev, or saving your life where somebody puts a gun to your head and says, either shoot him or I shoot you, where you're putter. It's exactly the same halacha. If you don't understand it in a fundamental way, then you're reduced to thinking that the reason that the difference would be so important between his making a choice is because, well, if he made the choice, he probably selected the field that he would be most willing to part with, and therefore, it's, you know, he was already made up his mind to part with it. Which is the way the Rashbam learns. So that it's a, he must have selected the worst field, or what to him was the worst field. Okay. Again, that sort of limits the application of this thing. Whereas we do find it in other Rishonim applied across the board, not particularly because of a choice of a field. Furthermore, besides so, even in the case where he insists that it's a particular field and he sold it, and I'm claiming that then it would be batel, even according to Ravuna, that's only if he wasn't sitting there counting out the cash. Delo artzi zuzi. Because then if he's counting the cash, he's now analyzing his current financial situation. I mean, as far as he's concerned, it's sold. If he was planning on getting it back, he wouldn't be sitting there counting the cash. So, the seller, yeah. So he's sitting there putting out the cash, and then we certainly would not say, if it was artsy zuzi, I wouldn't say that then it's canceled. And not only that, velo amon ela delo havile lishtamute, furthermore, where we're claiming that he didn't really have any will, that's where he really didn't. There was no way out. He couldn't have gotten out of this. He couldn't have delayed it. If there was something that he could have said, let's say he could have said, I need to go get the papers, or I need to get the assessor's, or I need to get my original contract so I can give it over to you, or I need to ask the missus, whatever. I mean, he could have put things off, or perhaps in meanwhile gotten help, or maybe, who knows, you know what they say, and by then the dog will have died, you know. So whatever the case may be, if he doesn't try to be mishtamet from the pressure the guy's bringing on him, and he just says, okay, fine. So okay, fine means that he's mitratzet to the cell. And then, he obviously shtamutin, and we don't say that it's bottle. But the truth is that hilchata b'kulu t'haviz v'inizvini. We don't accept those limitations. In all of the cases, it's considered to be where the guy says, I'm willing to go ahead of it. It's a kosher sale according to Rav Huna, and I'll prove it to you because a particular woman that you want to marry is certainly like Kesada Zo. So if you take that woman and hang her up and you say, well, either you're going to decide to marry me, honey babes, or you could just sit there on that tree. Yeah, this guy is... So, and an ish, of course, is kisoda zodami. I mean, that's the equivalent. Obviously, she herself is the field, not a field. And it says, v'yomar ha-mimar, so you have a kaddish, kiddushav kiddushin, that if you hang a woman up and she agrees to the kiddushin on this level, that is also a kosher kiddushin. Again, just like we saw by Gittin, because we're not talking about moral choice, we're talking about kinyanim. So I'll leave it to Rav Huna. A Kenyan, once you go through it, it is, what the heck. And by a woman as well, she has what to gain. I mean, obviously, he's going to be supporting her besides the money of the Kedushin. Like, money Kedushin is just sort of symbolic. Okay, but, you know, I mean, I'm getting involved in a situation where everybody gets involved. And, you know, these men basically are all the same anyway, you know, so what the heck. At least he really wants me at something. So, you know, I want you, I need you, and 2 out of 3 ain't bad. So maybe she's figuring the same thing. Mar bar Rav Ashi Omar, halakhically, that is not true. Be'isha vadai kedushin lo havi. That's crazy. That can't be a kedushin. Even though you may say that in terms of the technicalities of the logistics of the kinyan, it's a perfectly good kinyan, I'll leave it to Rav Huna, but who asa shelo kahogen lefichach asu imo shelo kahogen va'afkeinu rabbanu lekedusha minei. This is one of those cases where, because of the impropriety of the behavior, the rabbanu treat him with impropriety. In other words, we don't look at what is proper; we look at what we want, and what we want is that he should not be able to get a woman under these circumstances. Therefore, we create a situation whereby that kedushin is bottom, and they take away the kedushin. What do you mean they take away the kedushin? Amar Rav Huna Rashi, how can you take away kedushin? I mean, teinach the kaddish bekasp. That's all very nice because you could take away his money. So if the guy gave this diamond ring after she agrees, now it's all, you know, lovey-dovey and so on. So now he gives her a diamond ring. They could say the diamond ring doesn't belong to you. We're mafkir it. So therefore, you never gave her kesef kedushin. The kedushin is batal. But how about it is far more likely he took her to bed. He was mekaddish or bevia. I mean, this is sort of a rapish kind of situation. Put a woman up there on the wall. So how about if it was a mekaddish bevia? So then, I mean, how are they going to undo that? Or Marley, what do you mean undo that? They turned it into a rape. Because basically every kedushin is essentially, areyat mekudeshesli, kedat Moshe v'Yisrael. Kedushin is defined as a particular contextual relationship. If I remove the context, then I remove the relationship. So if I remove the approval of that intercourse, and to me and to us it looks like rape, then that is not the be of a kedushin. It's not the be of a kinyan. And that's exactly what they did. And therefore, the Rabbana turned his bi'ilah into a bi'ilah znut. Which, again, there's a discussion as to how that works. The Rashbam understands that to be the result. In other words, in removing the context through our disapproval, your bi'ilah turned into a bi'ilah znut. Not that that is the mechanism that we use to undo your kedushin, which is certainly not the simple mashmaut of the sugya. Simple mashmaut of the sugya is I'm looking for a mechanism. So when it comes to money, the mechanism is basically hefker, beit din hefker. And I can say that you don't own the money because I have the right to be mafkia money from you from the kayach of Bezdin. But when the answer about the bi'ila is we turn that bi'ila to bi'ila tznut, it sounds like the same way we turn the money into not being your money, we turned your act of intercourse into a non-kedushin appropriate act of intercourse. So that, you know, I mean, the way in which that would be achieved obviously is not through any of the direct kerechas of Besdin. It's still true that it's a getter of Kedat Moshe Yisrael. But the question is, was the focus on the mode of the intercourse? Or was the focus on the context? So in other words, do we need to decide that intercourse like that is rape as far as we're concerned? Or do we need to simply say we don't approve of kedushin under those circumstances? In which case, the issue isn't rape, it's just not, this is not the way to be Mekadosh a woman. So Mamela, it becomes, so now, so why am I sleeping with this woman? I don't know, buddy, that's not my business, it's your problem. You know, you want to sleep with a woman, everybody does that. The question is, you want to be married or not? You're not married. So that's your problem. So it's a very different focus, the way the Rashbam learns it. It's not a mechanism. We're just telling you, Lamaisa. Ah, you'll say, but you're undoing the very fact that I slept with her. People sleep with women all the time. Doesn't mean that they're married to them. So Mamela, that's all that we said. We don't have to explain why you're sleeping with them. Now what happened once is that back in the Shire, Tabi Tali Lapapi Akinra. So there was good old Tabi who hung up his friend or his erstwhile friend Papi, and he hung him up on a violin. No, not really. He hung him up on a tree. A kinra is a kind of tree where he hung him up about the sale of a kinra. It's not clear what went on here. They're trying to bring both approaches. Vizavin. And so he agreed to the sale. Now, Rabba Bar Rav Chana signed on a moda'a that Papi had given before. He says, look, I know Tabi's after my violin. I want, basically, you know, to give over a moda'a that if I agree to a sale, it's not really meant. I don't want to sell. So he signs Rabba Bar Chana on the before it took place, or the pre-existing moda'a. But what's fascinating is that he also signed on the contract of the sale. So the same person signed on the moda and on the ashkalta, which is what your shakil, what you'd use to take it away with. Amar Ravuna. So Ravuna said, well, you know, I'll tell you something. The guy who signed on the moda is a perfectly valid signature. And the guy who signed on the ashkalta is also perfect valid. Shaper chatin. Huh? It's the same guy. Ravuna, excuse us. How can it be this? It's the same person. I mean, either this is valid or isn't valid. How could he sign on two contradictory contracts and you say that they're both good? Well, you're also right, said Ravuna. Yeah. No, what he meant was, we're taking a look, prima facie here. Ilav modam, andechotim, ashkalta, shapirchotim. Looking at the shtar in front of us, it's fine. This is a kosher shtar, this is a kosher shtar. If it hadn't been that the moda'a had come first, so then this would have been the kosher shtar. There's nothing innate in the shtar. Now we have to analyze what happened. Since I had a pre-existing moda'a, so obviously that cancels the usefulness of the shtar. So don't look at the documents. Just look at the seder of the events. Now this is Ravuna Lataymi. Obviously, Ravuna was saying, I mean, what's the point of that? The point is that even if you can establish that he was hung up until he signed the kinra away, that wouldn't have invalidated the sale. That's what he's saying, that if it hadn't been for the shtar moda'a, then the fact that I sign on a contract where I see a guy screaming on top of a tree is not a problem. You can sign on that. That's gufa his chiddush. So this is Ravuna Lataymi. The Om Ravuna, tell you of his avin zvine zvine. Wait a minute, says the Gemara. But so then how does the moda'a work? If Lamaisa, the guy ended up going ahead, and now basically what you're having is the Edim come along and they say, and in this case the Edim is a great rabbi, it's Rabbi Bar Bar Chana. So now Rabbi Bar Bar Chana says, well, I signed on that, but I want you to know, it really wasn't meaningful. I thought, you can't do that. Omer Reb Nachman, didn't Reb Nachman say that Edim she'amru amana hayudvarinu? Ein ne'emanim moda'a hayudvarinu. Ein ne'emanim, now this is moda'a. The din of amana is where people sign on a contract for an event that never happened. So let's say somebody wants to borrow money. And he doesn't want to activate the loan now. He wants to create a credit.
Line of credit.
A line of credit, yeah. So he wants to create a line of credit which won't have a problem of collection. Normally, if you write a shtar mukdam, obviously that passes the shtar because then you're claiming that a lien existed when it didn't exist, so you throw that out. But opening a line of credit, the person is meshabed his field at that point. So in terms of the line of credit, there's nothing wrong with the shtar. I am publicizing the fact that there's a lien on my property. What do you care? Whether I took the lien or took the money for the lien or didn't take, that's not your concern. You as a buyer should only be concerned that there's a lien. So I'm telling you the lien exists as of today. Now, I never actually took that loan. Now, the halacha is that you're not supposed to accept a contract of that type for a moral reason. It's too tempting. If you are the lender and you're being given a shtar based on emunah, I trust you. Well, you shouldn't trust yourself. So memela, a shtar like that, we don't accept. But so there's two reasons why you can't, after being made that a loan took place, you can't walk in and say, well, it's true, we signed that, but it never happened. So you can't do that simply because once the shtar is present, it's as if nechkarei dutan bebeitin, v'kivan shi'igid shuveno chozer umagid. Once you say something, you can't come back in now and interpret what you said. But of course it didn't happen. We were only being made to create a lien, but we never were made that we meant that the loan took place. You can't do that. There's another issue over here, which is since you were involved in a transaction, which was morally inappropriate, ein adam meisim atzmo rasha, which some say is also an issue. But in any event, we will not accept the witnesses. Furthermore, if the witnesses walk in and say, well, of course, we witnessed the sale of the violin over here, to Poppy, from Poppy. So then we would accept that. And then they walk in and say, but you see, he told us the day before, he didn't really mean to sell it. I said, excuse us? Did you come into court and say that he sold it? We have no interest in your further testimony. Goodbye. So isn't that exactly the case? Rabbi Barbachana walks in. There's a contract. Then says Rabbi, but you see, actually the day before, he said it wasn't going to be a good sale. I mean, come on, that's exactly this case, isn't it? So, of course it's not this case. Things that take place, bal peh, are limited by linear time. So if you first say the testimony, then the guy says, but I really didn't mean it. Rabbi Barbachana, please, step up to the podium. You can testify, I didn't mean it. We'll throw Rabbi Barbachana out. When we testify, you already testified. You can't come back in over here. But over here, the shtar that he had signed about the moda'a took place earlier in time. When it comes to light is not an issue. So over there, the earlier modan, this indeed is completely consistent with Rav Huna. Both shtarot are good. Okay, which one came first? So the one that came first is the one that tells us that the sale did not take place. Because he wrote that there was no Gemir Asdas, said it in front of Aden, it was written in a shtar. So because of that, there's no problem. So ani mili al peh, because you can't come in now, loati al peh, umir l'shtara. Av shtara, Oti, the first shtara, umira l'shtara, which is the second shtara, and that is perfectly true, even on Libet Ravuna. So although Ravuna says, talua v'zavin zvine zvine, if we have a shtar modah before, even Ravuna is meida, that then we don't say that agav unse gomar umakne. That's all. Mosiv Rav Yehuda. Geta meuseh b'Yisrael kasher uba'akum pasul uba'akum choftim oto v'omrim lo osei ma sh'Yisrael omer lecha. Again, our approach was as if it says here kasher. Ve'amai atam nami neima agav unse gomaru megaresh yitmar la. Indeed, omre mishar she'dvar Torah filu ba'akum kasher uma ta'am amru ba'akum pasul kedei shalotei kol achat v'achat olechet v'tolatz ba b'yad akum mafka'at atzma miyad ba'ala. Modiv Reb Amnuna, lakach mi sikrikon, v'chazav lakach mi ba'al ha'bayit, mikho batel, v'amai, hatam nami neima agav unse gomar umakne, ha'yitmar ala, omar rav lo shan, v'lado omar leilech chazek ukni, avo bishtar kana, ule shmul, di omar rav bishtar, nami lo kana, ma'ik la meimar, v'ana modiv shmul, echad yai vizuze, which is precisely what Rav Huna holds. And how about according to Rabbi, the Messiah by Mishmei, the Rav Nachman, Karka, Enlo, Ma'ot, Yeshlo, Ma'ikel, Meima. Rav Bibi is a Meimra, who Meimra, Rav Huna, Lo, Sfirle. Omar, Rav Yilchata, Tal Yove, Zavin, Zvine, Zvine, Velo, Amran, Ela, Besadeh, Stam, Ava, Besadeh, Zo, Lo. Furthermore, Besadeh, Zo, Nami, Lo, Amran, Ela, De Lo, Artzi, Zuzi, Aval, Artzi, Zuzi, Lo, Velo, Amran, De Lo, Avile, Lishtamute, Velo, Avile, Lishtamute, Lo, but in fact, Le, Alocha, Bekulo avizvinazvini. I feel a besadazu, and the proof is that an isha is obviously kesadazu dami, and nonetheless, Omar Amema told you of a kaddish kedushav kedushin. Marba Ravashi Omar, yeah, that's all very nice, theoretically. But beisha vade kedushin lo havi. Why? Because who has shaloke hogen lefichach asuimo shaloke hogen vavkeino rabbanan lekidushay mine. Omele Rabino Ravasha, it's all very sweet when it comes to Kaddish and Bekaspa. How about if it was Kaddish Bidiyama, Ikalameima? Omele, what's the problem? Shavyo Rabbana lebi'ilato, bi'ilat znut. Tabi tala lepapi akinra, vizavin, goes ahead Rabba Barbarchan, is chotim both on the Moda'a and on the Ashkalta. Om Ravuna, no problem. Manda chotim amoda shapir chotim. Man de chatim ashkalta shapir chatim. Huh? Man of shaki, moda lo ashkalta, ashkalta lo moda. No. Achi kamer, ilav moda, there would not have been a problem about the chatima ashkalta, even though it was a case where it was hanging on the tree. So man de chatim ashkalta shapir chatim, this of course is Ravuna la taime. The Om Ravuna tell you of a zavin, zvine zvine. Any? The Om Rav Nachman, edim shamlu amana hayudavarenu. Einamani, or if they say moda'a yudavarena, which is exactly what Rabba Barbachana is doing here. They're also einamani. Ani mili alpeh, delohati alpeh omira lishtora. Ava bishtora, ati shtora, which was kodim, and it's mira lishtora.